On tonight's Hillbilly Nerd Talk, adult moochers, the Hulk goes to the Creation Museum, Pokemon Go reset, and Stranger Things.
Welcome to Hillbilly Nerd Talk with Hank and Petra.
Welcome to Hillbilly Nerd Talk. I'm Hank.
And I'm Petra.
What have you been doing this week, Petra?
I've been back to school and still recovering from the boob job.
You're still sore?
Well, now, like you said, like the nerves are kind of repairing and stuff like
yeah.
that. So, like, I'm walking around all the time with my headlights on. And so I got to wear extra layers to make sure that's not, like, so bad.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of interesting. It's kind of like, oh, I mean, it's just this.
Maybe you're just excited.
No. Definitely not.
You're just excited all the time. Just admit it.
No, definitely not like that. Like, just all the time you can feel your boobs.
We had sexy time the other night. First time in 2 weeks.
You liked it.
I did like it.
It was awesome, wasn't it?
Those boobs really fill out the lingerie.
Of course, they're still swollen and sticking out of my chest like Scud missiles, but...
Look like you've been,
oh, podcat.
Look like you've been shot in the back with two rockets.
Yes, yes.
Well, they're going to go down some.
I think so.
Of course they are.
I think so.
They look fantastic.
Well, thank you.
That's why you got them, right? So you
yes.
can fill
yes.
out lingerie and feel sexy and all that, right?
Yes.
Well, do you?
I do. Hang on a second, because Podcat just lost the article. She just climbed up here on my lap. And
did she just claw yes. her way around the iPad and
yes.
change your article?
She did. She sure did. It was actually really cute, so I can't. Can't be too mad about it.
Poor,
I've got a cat on the lap. So.
Poor Chairman Meow.
She's like, pay attention to me, Mommy. She's been laying over there, being a good cat, sleeping all day long. And now she's like going to sit on this iPad no matter
she's
what.
She's part of the show. She likes it.
Yeah.
Well, have you found it yet?
Nope.
Good Lord. So, what'd she do?
She totally got my article all messed up. It was great.
Chairman Meow, what are we going to do with you?
We're going to pet the kitty.
We're going to ration your kitty leaf. Your
yeah,
cat grass.
Cat grass.
She loves that stuff. When I give her a little blade of it, she sniffs it like a fine cigar before she chomp.
Chomp, yeah. Yeah, and then she like she will beg for it.
Yep, she does
really
awesome.
Funny about that. All right, there we go.
All right.
Back to normal here.
I hear you.
So, and she's still watching the iPads.
Well, let's hear it.
All right. Well, I thought we were talking. I thought we were doing an introduction here.
I don't know. Is there anything else you want to introduce and talk about?
I don't know. You just shoved me along. All right. I've got an article here.
Yeah.
That from Financial Times or Physical Times from Beth Braverman.
What's Physical Times? Do you get a
it's on MSN
it?
Money. It's
oh, okay.
Personal Finance.
Personal Finance.
And it's all right. The name of this is great. A shocking number of adults are still mooching off their parents.
Yeah, no shit. We bitch about this almost weekly.
My brother still mooches off of my parents.
Lots of people do, right?
He falls squarely in this. All right. Young adults who graduate from college but still rely on their parents for financial support have become a commonplace since the Great Recession.
So is my niece. Now,
that's
think
true.
About it.
That's true.
She has a college
that's
degree, true. For God's sakes, from almost an Ivy League
as
type
close
school.
As it gets in Appalachia.
Yeah. Yeah, an Appalachian Ivy League school.
Uh-huh.
Transylvania.
A new report finds the arrangement can last for decades.
I was going to say forever.
Yeah.
If you get somebody to pay your bills for you.
Well, all right. I've been kind of researching the other side of this.
Okay.
So. All right. Nearly a third of 30-somethings and more than a fifth of those in their early 40s receive significant ongoing financial support.
Wow.
That's a lot.
What happens when the parents die?
They inherit what they had saved for their retirement, I guess.
Or then they're just forced to
figure it out. The report found that 35% of all adults ages 21 to 45 receive financial support from their parents.
Can you say that again?
35% of all adults ages 21 to 45.
21 to 45.
Receive
35%?
So more than a third. More
wow.
than a third. Wow.
You know, it's one of these. it's hard not to be judgmental with that. We all tend to think the way we do it's the right way, and it's easy to judge. I get it. People have sometimes bad situations that come up and stuff that happens, but man, that is hard.
Well,
like when I mean, it's just hard for me to understand, I guess, what I'm trying to say. I graduated college, and my parents did that for me. I mean, I get it. That's a huge thing that from the time I was born, they basically ingrained, you're going to college, we're going to pay for it, and then you're on your own, jackass. Like, those things were instilled.
That's great. That would be wonderful if
everybody did that.
Yeah, but even but they don't, like, nowadays, right? a college education, a college degree does not guarantee a successful career and a job afterwards.
No, it's a foot in the door, and then you still have to do it yourself.
Yeah, but it's getting harder and harder for these people to do it themselves.
It is, but possible.
Because people are seriously, seriously underpaid.
Yeah, at some things.
Yeah.
But again, that's where it starts getting wonky. Like, you know, figure things out. Figure out how to make more money. Start your own business. Do something. I don't know. If you don't like what you're doing, you're not making enough money, find something else, right? Is that just too easy
is
to say?
Is that a perfect world? I mean,
is it just too easy to say?
I think there's a gray area somewhere in the middle. I think that is a great, I think that's great advice coming from somebody who, And I did everything I could not to rely on parents too. I was fiercely independent, but there were times where I had to have a little help too. So I won't say that I never took help from my parents. If I hadn't moved back in after a divorce, there's no way I could have kept going.
Well, I was gainfully
employed in my chosen field.
I don't think this study that you're talking about, I don't think you're talking, they're saying decades and all this
stuff.
Well,
yeah, that is possible. It's possible.
I don't think the study that this article, the kind of the theme of it is in an emergency situation, people are getting help from their parents. I think they're saying, right? Seems to me like the theme of this article is ongoing help forever or for decades. That's the part I have kind of trouble with. It's the part I do have trouble with.
Well, I do too, but
everybody needs a helping hand once in a while for sure.
But the cost of living has skyrocketed, you know, in the last couple of decades. And you know, wages have not. They haven't kept up. And, you know, baby boomers, when they got out of high school, you know, they could go to, heck, they didn't even have to go to college. Lots of them, you know, they could go straight to work, you know, afford a house and a car when they were, you know, 21 years old and, you know, start chucking away money for retirement. And our generation and beyond, you know, the millennials too.
Right.
It's gotten more and more and more expensive to go to college. It's gotten more and more important to go to college. You graduate from college with mountains of debt, and you know everything is exponentially more expensive than it was a generation ago.
It's a complicated problem.
It is.
We could spend a whole podcast on this one subject, and there's no real good answer. But I will say, it is a pretty firm conviction of mine, and it's not all one thing. Like what you're saying, all that's true. We do have increased this and that, increased cost of living, wages maybe haven't kept up. But then there's a part of me that even like the college thing, I see, and even when I went to college and in my fraternity, I know a ton of people, even now, you know, a lot of college kids that run off to spring break that are driving nicer cars, that are driving nicer cars than we drive, who have, you know what I'm saying, luxury items that they can't afford.
And their parents are footing the bill for it.
And they're going to,
footing the bill for it, that's by choice.
Well, kids are going to be footing the bill for it, whatever the term is, for decades in the term of student loans, because the more that shit you buy now, the more student loans you're going to have to take out.
Yeah.
Instead of having a brand new Xbox, how about putting that money towards your tuition? Like, there's some of that. Now, I'm not saying it's all.
Yeah.
And like, I'm bringing this back to.
Yeah.
I know.
I see where you're going.
I'm just saying it's a component.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
that's the stuff that drives me crazy.
Well,
if you're a kid.
That goes back to like the reality TV generation. These people that think that a lifestyle like the Kardashians is possible on a normal person's salary. I mean, they want to have the best of everything and drive fancy cars and unless you're a reality television star and getting paid to fart, you're not going to live like that.
You mean they're not going to make $1 million being Call of Duty champion of Kentucky this year?
No.
Don't make millions of dollars doing that.
Don't make millions doing that.
You know, when I was in the great college of Morehead State University back in the day, in the late 80s, you know, that was probably the first generation, looking back on it, I'll bet, unless even Atari back in the day, but I doubt it. But there were definitely a large percentage of young male students who they got flunked out of college because of Mario Brothers. Mario Brothers flunked their asses out.
You know, I had a not so stellar semester between the discovery of alcohol, because I didn't discover alcohol until I was a sophomore.
Yeah.
And this discovery of Doom on the computer.
Mm-hmm.
Like
alcohol and Doom.
Alcohol and Doom was a bad combination for me, and I didn't do so. I got to midterms and was like, "Oh fuck! Oh fuck! Oh fuck!"
I remember a room in the dorm, a few doors down, and if it didn't matter what time of day, I don't care if you got up for class at 7 a.m. or you went to a night class at 8:00 p.m. That door was open, and there was always somebody in there playing Damn Mario.
Wow.
Either them or friends or something. I mean,
You have to have some self-control.
Yeah.
You really do. I mean, and
so anyway, what we're saying here, if you're living on ramen noodles, driving a shitty car, have a couple of jobs. Yeah.
I'm rooting for you.
Yeah.
I am rooting for you.
Me too.
I would want to do anything in the world to help you out.
Absolutely.
If you are mooching off of mom and dad and driving a better car than them, screw you.
Yeah. Right. If you're trying to better yourself, all for it. So anyway, that's a good article.
All right.
We've been talking about stuff like that lately anyway. So about our millennials and this and that.
Yes. Yeah, we have. And we down millennials sometimes, but you know what? They really are the first generation that's can't expect a better lifestyle than their parents. They're still trying for it, but they really can't expect it. I mean, the standard of living is lower for this generation.
It's very hard, and we don't have kids. And this is one thing people instantly will say, well, you don't have kids. You don't understand. You'll never understand. Well, I do know some core beliefs that I have, and we have friends who are, you know, you can be regimented. I truly believe if we had kids, or just in general, the way to do things is to give people a helping hand, like we're saying, but not enable. When you constantly, forever give them stuff, you're enabling them.
Absolutely.
And I don't think you're helping them in the long run. I just don't.
No.
So.
No, you're creating a dependent.
And most people will say this. Like, I bet if you surveyed, I bet 90% of the people say, yep, that's right. And then when it comes to their kid, whatever. I'm not going to let my grandkid go without having electricity.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm not going to let my grandkid not have a new backpack for school. I'm going to buy him a new backpack. Or whatever it is in some way.
Well, you know, they can't see. Especially with grandchildren. We see it a lot around here.
Oh, they tug on their, they use them.
Oh,
as,
yeah. They use them as just
like Pokemon
blackmail.
Bait. Like Pokemon
yeah,
bait.
It is. Like, well, if you want to see him, you've got to pay to take him to this. And if you want to see him, you've got to take him school shopping. It's back to school time.
Yeah.
And we're already seeing the influx of grandparents bringing kids in for haircuts and taking them school shopping. Because their parents aren't doing it.
Yeah, and you're right. It's a convenient way.
And their parents
are
your kids, grandparents. Those are your kids that you raised to be shitty like that.
And that is some sneaky shit, too. And that is what they do.
Yeah.
Like, you want to see your grandkids? Okay. Grandpa's going to take you back to school shopping. Like, wait a minute. What happened to
this? Oh, my God. My parents were furious.
Can we just hang out on the porch? Like, no, you got to take them shopping.
My parents were furious with my grandparents. I was the chosen one.
Yeah.
I'm just not even going to lie. I was the oldest, the only girl, and I was born when my dad was in the Navy during Vietnam. So mom lived at home with her mom and dad for the first 6 months that I was born. Yeah, after I was born. So I was their baby. I was the family baby there. And I never kind of drifted away from that. I was very close to my grandparents. I'm going to tear up here. But
that's nice.
But I also, like, we've talked about this on the podcast before, too. My parents were Pentecostal. Well, those grandparents were Baptist. And at a certain
point... They were liberal compared to them.
Hell yes, they were. And at a certain point, I put my...
You were allowed to wear pants, for God's sake.
I put my, 12-year-old foot down and said, I'm going to church with Nana and Pop. I'm not going with you anymore. Nana and Pop are coming to get me this morning. And... They wouldn't argue in them. You know? So I started going to church with my grandparents. And it wasn't like blackmail or anything like that. But after church, they were like, honey, this dress is, we're going to go get you a new dress. So, I mean, and at a certain point, mom finally had to go, don't go get Petra's stuff and not bring the boys home something.
Oh. Petra had the favorite treatment.
I was. And that was not fair when we were, that young. But it wasn't so much, it was just that I was very close to them. Mm-hmm. I never really, intentionally played them for anything like that.
Well, there's fine lines there between, if you're a grandparent and you want to, give your grandkids some stuff, so be it. Whatever.
Absolutely.
Nothing wrong with gifts here and there, but. You know some of these people are taking advantage of that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I was a 12, 13-year-old kid, so it wasn't like I was doing it.
No, I guess.
Manipulative.
You're talking about going to the Baptist church, too. Somebody was mentioning this the other day, and they were so proud of their granddaughter was going to get baptized.
Oh.
And I'm like, how old is she? What's going on? Because I pretend like I'm... I don't pretend like I'm excited, but at least to start a conversation. They're all excited, so you don't want to be an asshole about it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, that's nice. How old's your granddaughter? She's 6.
Oh.
And I'm just thinking in my head, how is that even possible that these people are expecting 6-year-old kids to make the biggest decision probably you'll ever ponder your whole life if you're halfway have a brain to even ponder.
You're not supposed to have
the
a
mysteries
brain.
Of the universe.
Yeah, you're not supposed to have a brain.
And you're supposed, and they're letting 6-year-old kids decide. Yeah, I've decided that I totally believe this whole story about Jesus and floating up into the clouds and zombie Jesus and all that.
Well, that's that. The younger they can get them, the deeper that hook is. So
I get it, but. But if, here's what I'm getting at, I guess. If you are a legitimate organization, whether it's religion, I don't care what it is. I'm just going to say an organization.
Mm-hmm.
Before you should be able to join that organization, shouldn't you at least be at an age, legal age? The age of 18, where your brain is at least somewhat, mostly fully formed.
I think looking back on my time in churches, I think that age in our church was 11. They didn't baptize people before 11. And I was getting a lot of.
Oh, they're really liberal. 11 instead of 6.
I think it's biblical. I think there's something in the
whatever.
Bible. 11 or 12 or something like that. That's when they have bar mitzvahs and bat mitzvahs too in the Jewish tradition. So.
Okay.
So, I think it really is like Old Testament something. And somebody can let us know if they're listening and going,
right.
Petra, you idiot, you forget everything. But I was getting a lot of pressure to be baptized.
Uh-huh.
And they really always pick the I've always had issues with dirty water. They pick the nastiest damn river to go baptize people in, and I would not do it.
Was that the deal? The nasty,
like,
river.
Hell no.
That's funny. That's your reasoning, huh?
At that time in my life, I was so indoctrinated, yes.
You don't think Jesus would have kept those bacteria out of you?
I didn't see that far down the road.
You know good and well, if a turd rolls over four rocks, it's all clean.
Well, that's what they said. That's what they said. I was like, no, that's not the way it works.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. It just struck me odd when somebody says, and then I started realizing, like, yeah, all churches do that before 18. Like, there's no cutoff. You don't have to be an adult to make this life decision.
Nope.
It's really weird, I think.
Yeah,
it is to me.
Too,
I can't help it.
So, yeah.
And then, you know, on religion stuff, too, my buddy the Hulk that I played golf with.
Yeah.
I don't even know how he holds a golf club. He does look like the Hulk.
He does. I bet a golf club looks like this, some tiny little thing.
He looks like Tim Tebow is who he looks like in the face. But he's even bigger than Tim Tebow, like,
he's not that tall, though. He's not super tall. Stocky. But he is just kind of grossly muscular.
Well, I don't know. You can judge that. I don't know about grossly, but he's just a muscular dude. But anyway, we were playing golf the other day, and I met him in the parking lot. What have you been doing there, Hulk? And he's like, well, yesterday we took the kids to the Creation Museum up around Cincinnati. And this guy's an old fraternity buddy of mine. And it just came out. I'm like, what'd you do? We would go up there to make fun of it? I'm like I couldn't picture this person, like, seriously going for any other reason except he had lost a bet with somebody or some bullshit.
Oh no.
So anyway, yeah, him and his wife and their two little kids went to this Creation Museum, and he was telling me a little bit about it, and I'm like, you seriously can't believe that the earth is 6,000 years old, do you? I said, I don't think we can play golf together if you really believe that. He said, yeah, I know. A lot of that stuff's kind of bullshit, isn't it? And I'm like, yeah, think.
And you're teaching your kids this?
Yes.
To me, that's a huge disservice.
Well, you know what?
Abuse.
As I dug into it a little bit, it was more like, yeah, me and my wife, we kind of got an argument on the way back over a lot of these issues. And it basically comes down to his wife wanted to go, and he is doing it to keep the peace, I think.
They're stuck in one of those loveless, hellish marriages, aren't they?
You know, yeah. And you know, I guess this golf course has got therapy. You girls have your shopping malls, whatever, when you all get together, hairdressers, you have your secret little world of girls getting together, solving your all's problems.
Yes.
Around here, it's sewing circles. Hell, we literally still have sewing circles.
Yeah, we do.
And that's fine. I don't care.
I don't do it. We do have them.
But that's what our golf courses are. And yeah, the Hulk was telling me that, yeah, his wife basically, him and her, basically a loveless marriage.
Yeah.
They have two kids. He's in it for the kids. He's one of these guys of, oh, no other man's going to raise my kids kind of thing.
Yeah.
So stays together for the kids.
Well, because guys know that it doesn't matter what your wife looks like right now. Like, she can be a hairy, short, fat troll. If you get a divorce, she's going to join a gym and put on a best face and hook her another one. So, that's, you know, so anti-feminist.
You know,
that's what I see time and time again.
By owning a gym, have we seen this time and time again? And it's really bad, because if you are, let's say, a female or guy, either one, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
If you have not been in a gym for 10 years and all of a sudden you start working out, somebody's getting a divorce.
Yeah.
You sense it coming. Or you're going to do it. Maybe you're going to be the one doing the divorcing, or maybe you're the one that's going to get divorced. But
yeah.
I don't know. There's some sixth sense shit going on there. Like, holy shit, I think I better start working out.
Yeah. Yeah, it is kind of a... And
how many
we
times
see it
we
time,
seen
and time and time again.
When Mrs. I'll tell you, Mrs. Johnson joined the gym today. You're like, oh, I didn't know she was going through divorce. Like, it's like that.
Yeah.
It really is almost.
It is. And I feel bad laughing at their pain. And, you know, I was telling you, like, you were talking about sewing circles. Well, for us right now, I've got a group of buddies, and it's that WhatsApp app. On the phone.
Yeah.
They chatter with each other all the time. And I'll get on there and there'll be hundreds of messages back and forth. And I've got a buddy who you've run into, like, she's working out right now. I think things are a little rocky at home.
Yeah, either rocky or something going on.
And I feel bad because she saw us when we were shopping for groceries in Kroger's this weekend, and we were all smoopy all over each other in Kroger. We were public displays of affection.
We were smoopy.
We were all sweet and smoopy and everything. I almost feel bad. I'm like, sorry about that.
Oh, well, she can get
we're
together
just
with Hulk.
All over each other.
Maybe that's why this, you know, when this website, like Ashley Madison, this hookup website for people who are married and stuff, always thought, what the hell? How is that even possible? There's that many people.
But, you know, if you're not getting any affection, any sex at home.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, right. I mean, if you get the guy like the Hulk, who's in a loveless marriage. And you got a girl, and she's in a loveless marriage, and she's in it just for her kids. You know, whatever. I guess if they can have some relationship and it works for everybody, it just seems.
It seems. All right.
Again.
I don't know. The way I feel about things, if it's an open relationship and people agree that it's an open relationship, it's none of my damn business. It's none of anybody's business. You know, when somebody's getting hurt, though.
That's when it's, right.
You know, and when it's straight up cheating, and somebody finds out, you know, that is such a devastating blow.
Right. Then somebody's been dishonest, and that's of course not acceptable. But I guess I just see how it happens now much more than I ever used to.
Yeah.
And I used to be more like, well, my God, if you're not happy, just get the hell out. That's what I never did understand. But these kids are so. They're an X factor, right?
They are.
And maybe that's not the reason. We just never had a burning desire to have kids. But it is one of the benefits that we're not tied down. I mean,
it forces us to work it out.
If we weren't happy, we would just get divorced.
Yeah.
Like, it wouldn't be a, oh, my God, what about these kids? It'd be like, I don't know. It's. Well, I've said it in joking many times, but in a way it is true. Like, I'm just too selfish to have kids. I don't want to base my whole life based on the needs of somebody else.
I went through about probably 6 months ago, like I came through the other side. I went for about a year with like, am I going to regret not having kids?
Yeah.
Like, really kind of wondering mm-hmm. about it. And now I can honestly say, no, I'm not.
I think of that sometimes, too. I get that pressure, too. I think of it. But I just can't see myself.
I think we'd be great parents.
Maybe we would.
Great parents.
Oh, I know we would. We'd
we
be
have
phenomenal.
Everything to give to kids, but I don't even feel mature enough to be a parent right now. I'm 43 fucking years old, and I'm not grown up enough yet.
Oh, I think we would be just fine as far as that goes.
I think we'd figure it out, but
we've talked about that before. People should have kids who are, you know, burning desire to have kids. My life won't be complete. I have to have kids.
If I've got to wonder about it, I just don't feel like I need it.
Yeah.
And I have to wonder about it. So I'm kind of like... Nah, probably not.
Yeah, right. I feel like it's one of those things where you're like, you just, I don't know. I feel like you would just know. I feel like I would know internally, like something is missing. Some giant piece of my life is just not there that should be there. I just don't feel that way.
I think your idea is great. Like, adopt some kid who's like 13, 14, 15 years old. This is the next UK basketball player or something like that.
Yeah.
I think that's a good plan. If you ever really want to do something like that, I think I'd be in.
Yeah.
I think we could. That's awful.
I think we could handle that. So, anyway, loveless marriages, and it just seems so sad.
It does.
And how many people, we've talked about this before, All right. How many people would you say, just off the cuff estimating, would you say are happily married? Not married. I'm saying happily married. What percentage? Got a guess?
I'm going to have to guess it's probably going to be about a quarter happily married for the most part. I'm going to say, you know, more than 60% of the time they're happily married.
Right. Overall picture. Down. We all
overall,
have our moments.
Big picture, happily married. I'm going to say that there are about 50% that are stuck in a rut. They don't, they're not really happy, but they're not miserable. And I'm going to say 25% are fucking miserable.
That's good. I'm a little more optimistic. Just on the cuff, I'd say 50-50. And that is probably being generous.
I think that's generous.
Okay.
I think that's real generous.
Well, whatever.
I think there's a lot of marriages where you just chug along and this is what you've been doing, so you're just going to keep going.
Well, just imagine that, what we're saying. And just take mine, because mine was the least of what we're saying. And I believe we're probably somewhere around there. That means half the people out there who are married are probably not happily married.
Yeah.
That's sad. I mean, you know, they're okay. They have their moments. But overall picture, if they were hooked up to a lie detector or somehow in the deep, dark night, if they would ever admit it to themselves, they're really not happy and they wish they weren't married.
Oh.
That's sad.
That's sad. That's really sad. I'm going to say there's only like 25% that's really, like, I know, like, the situation I'm in, you know, the women I'm around all the time, I know several that... No, at least one that's in borderline abusive relationship. He's verbally abusive. He's a jerk. We all hate him.
That's not good.
And I know a lot of, like, I'm around a lot of younger.
Like, I just don't understand why any adult puts up with that.
I don't either.
Like, somebody who is verbally abusive, physically abusive, or just.
It's usually a financial situation.
I guess.
It's a financial situation. It takes two incomes to support a household.
Oh, God. And then you just wake up one day and you're 75 years old. Your life's about gone.
Yeah. And this asshole has been calling you a bitch every day of your life.
I just cannot imagine.
Years and years.
I can't imagine.
I can't either.
Thank God. I'm glad we found each other.
I am too. Because we work together. If things aren't going great, then we figure out how to make them better.
Yeah. And at a worst case, absolute, if some... I don't even know what could happen, but if you ever to the point you are not happy overall and it's for a long period of time, like everybody goes to the rut, but you know what I'm saying? Then please just tell me and let just somebody pull the rip cord and end this.
Same.
Right.
Same.
Right.
Same.
I mean, there's no use in going through 20 years of whatever some of these people are going through.
I
it
think
just seems
the difference
insane.
Here though is this conversation, this agreement that
to do that
to be happy and to do that, I think that changes things, don't you? I think that makes
well, it certainly helps anytime you can communicate helps.
Yeah,
I seriously doubt if many of these people had a conversation like this.
Well, it gets,
but
I don't know. I think we're kind of weird because we do have these
brains.
No, we have conversations like if things are not, if we have multiple disagreements, we sit down and we talk it out. We don't just let it fester. Like neither one of us are good at that. And we talk rationally with each other. It's not a yelling, screaming argument. You do realize that our marriage is really weird for not having those.
Well, we're in a good way.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
If that's
weird, I'll take it every day.
I mean, it was hard for me to learn that because that's normal. I think it's not healthy, but I think it's normal.
Well, and yeah.
We're weird.
Well, good for us.
We're
that's all
way.
I'll say. You have, well, first of all, I want to say about where to shop.
Yes.
All of our listeners, I would like for you to buy some shit off Amazon.com this week. I don't care if you get
whether you need it or not.
That's right. Go to our website, which is
hillbillynerdtalk.com.
And on the right-hand side, there's a banner. Just scroll up a little bit. It says Amazon. Click on that banner. It takes you to Amazon. Then buy your stuff. Buy your marriage self-help book or your cyanide capsules or whatever the hell you've got to do to get out of it, to end that shitty marriage you're in. If you're in one way or another, start going to the gym. Let everybody know it. That's the universal sign of...
This marriage is over.
If you're middle-aged and you start working out, you haven't worked out in years, then that should tell the whole world what's going on. Right?
Hank. I'm just shaking my head at him right now laughing.
So that is how it goes.
I want this. You see this on the corner here?
What,
that
Pokemon?
Hot tub? No, the hot tub.
That hot tub looks like a giant...
Egg.
Bowl.
It looks like a giant dinosaur egg that you have. You sit in the hot tub.
Half an egg?
Yeah, it's amazing.
I was thinking a bowl, like a, not a bowl. Like
it is a bowl. It's a bowl-shaped hot tub. I love it. I want it so bad.
I'd be like, I'd feel like I'm in a soup. I'd feel like some giant alien is just stewing me for eating.
Wonderful.
I'd be paranoid.
I want that.
That's pretty cool.
I want a hot tub.
Maybe someday we'll get a hot tub.
Aggravate Hank for a hot tub at least once a month. Once a year.
No, you got a story about old Pokemon.
All right. This is...
By the way, I told you this week. What's Pokemon stand for? Short for?
Pocket Monster.
Yeah. I'd forgotten
Japanese
that.
Japanese for Pocket Monster.
Yeah, somehow they abbreviated Pocket Monster. I don't know why the little fancy thing over the E, what that has anything to do with it, but whatever.
I don't know. Some kind of... pronunciation.
What's happening?
Right, this is from the Telegraph by Lydia Wilgress.
Nice, Lydia.
All right. Pokemon Go fans devastated after game update resets their progress back to level one.
Oh my God, I would die.
Can you imagine?
I jumped off a cliff to get that little damn dragon, and now nothing.
Hundreds of friends have been left devastated. Fans of the game took to social media in disbelief after realizing that downloading an update for the game had led to the application resetting itself.
That'll show them.
Oh,
take
my
it,
God.
Take it to social media.
Yeah, some have called for any money spent on Pokemon Go to be refunded.
Oh, yeah.
While others desperately search for a way to reverse the damage.
Desperately.
All right. All right, but there's a bright side to this. Some reported being able to get their progress back by using an alternative email to sign in.
Oh, thank God.
One Twitter user suggested log out of Google in Safari on iOS and then log in again in the Pokemon app. That will fix it. I have no idea what that means.
Well, thank God if they get their stuff back.
Yeah. So, but yeah, could you imagine? Because, I mean, these people around here, we have seen people out and about.
In all seriousness.
And congregating in places that you never see people. It's just.
It would be a pain in the ass. But
I would be mad. I'd be like, fuck this. I get aggravated. You know me. I get mad and turn the game off on stuff. I am not
There's a local park around here, and there is a statue of a heart. And that's where apparently there's a lot of monsters or something around this place. I've been hearing it forever. And when we walk around this park and we come to the statue, do we not see some of the most pasty, white, doughish looking bodies you've ever seen around that?
I feel bad for them. I'm like, here's some sunscreen, baby. You're going to burn up out here.
And good. I'm just like everybody else has said, good. I'm glad they're out socializing and playing this game outside. I think it's fantastic.
Absolutely.
But
I do too. I think it's
but we're seeing
adorable.
We're seeing like I don't know. I'm telling you, we're seeing like Stanley Kubrick shit. Like we're seeing the ape figure out the tool. You know, in front of the monolith right now. I'm just telling you. We're like, people are coming out of their caves. It's happening.
It's funny to watch, too, because, like, I don't know what game, what age group this game is really directed at. Like, we've seen kids, like, 9 to 12-year-old kids playing.
I would
but
think
it
that's,
seems like it's really like the teenagers and the young adults are the ones that are obsessive.
I've seen it yeah, I don't know. I would think that 9-10 year old range is perfect. But like you said, that being said, I see people in their 20s. Hell, I downloaded the game just to mess around with it.
Yep. You but caught one, didn't you?
Oh, I got several. I'm on like level 4. I better check my shit. If it reset my crap, I'm going to kill somebody.
Because you got 4?
Because I'm on level 4.
Good for you.
Damn right.
I'm so like conspiracy theory paranoid. I'm like, I don't want like pictures of my house on Google Maps.
Already on there. Already took care of that for you.
Bird to you.
Already did that. They've got the inside of this place mapped out.
You know, I saw something on Pinterest earlier today that I thought was kind of funny and warped in a way. There's a divorced couple where the man bought the house beside the wife just so he could have a huge middle finger statue erected, like right in the yard between them, so that she had to see it every day.
Oh, good Lord. What an idiot.
It is awful, but it's kind of funny.
Oh, I suppose. Some of those things are
spiteful every now and then.
Some of those things are good for a chuckle, but then you look at it like.
Then you look at it and you're like, wow, that's immature.
Yeah, like what kind of deep, you know, deep level can't you move on kind of like. Any girl he brings home, like, oh, what's that statue for? That's called my ex-wife, blah, blah, blah. It'd
and then like, she's just going to go, oh, you're a jerk, and leave.
Yep.
But it's funny.
There's some bitter-ass people out there, I'll tell you.
It's bad. It's bad.
But yeah, Pokemon Go is good. And I heard a rumor. I don't know if this is true. God knows. It's just a rumor. But and if this – can you imagine if this somehow – I don't even know – how it would tie in any way, but somebody said that Grand Theft Auto is somehow going to use this whatever for the next Grand Theft Auto somehow.
Oh my God.
If you have to run around and carjack people virtually, or what the hell could that be?
Oh.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine if you're walking around the park and all of a sudden, like virtually, like while you're holding your phone, and virtually a car pulls up and tries to start shooting your ass, you know, on the phone, and you're going to have to either run or maybe shoot back, or the possibilities could be endless.
Well, the possibilities are like all bad, though, because like, let's face it, the cops right now in this country are trigger happy. Like,
good
do
point.
You really want to go... like, even using your finger like a weapon right now. Yeah. Like, honestly.
Not a good idea.
This is bad. This is bad. And especially, you know, the young people that Grand Theft Auto is kind of geared towards. Like, don't do that. Don't fall for that. Don't get shot.
The random violence. The hookers. Imagine the hookers that are going to be on the sidewalk. The virtual hookers that you're going to have to go up with your phone and.
Talk to.
Yes.
I hope it like overlays over the grandma that's walking around the park.
That'd be awesome. What a great practical joke that would be.
That'd be awful. I mean, well, I can't believe I said that.
Oh, that's pretty good. Well, who knows? Again, total rumor, but like we've said, if you guys think Pokemon
pulls something off like that, it might be awesome. If you think it could be awful, too.
If you don't think Pokemon is the tip of the iceberg, I'm telling you, this is something gigantic.
I can't wait until there are like big virtual fantasy world games like World of Warcraft and Star Wars that, you know, you have to go out and act this stuff out, because there are nerds that are more than willing to go do this.
Yep.
You know, the Pokemon has proven it. We're willing to go out and
for sure
make fools of ourselves. So,
you know, and speaking of sci-fi, you mentioned Star Wars. We saw a good little sci-fi show on Netflix.
Yes, we did.
We really enjoyed that.
Yes, we did.
What was the name of it?
Stranger Things.
Yeah. Want to tell everybody a little bit about it? What do you think?
I really, you know, we've really gotten into like some of the Netflix original programming. Like,
I'm
House
telling
Park
you, Netflix is not, they are killing it with their original stuff.
Yeah. And this one was, it just kept popping up as a new release. And finally.
And something recommended.
Yeah. And so finally, we were kind of all out of other things to watch. And it's like, well, let's sit down and watch this. And I think we watched 3 episodes the first night because we were hooked. It's set in the 80s.
Early 80s.
And it's just so well done. The music, the graphics, everything mm-hmm. just harkens back to that early 80s time period that we grew up in. The acting is stellar.
It puts you in a mood, you said, like, to begin with, like, when it, like, the music and stuff. Like, even the opening credits, you can tell when, well, not all the time, but when somebody takes the time to make the opening music and all that vibe fit along with everything, you can tell yeah. they put a lot of thought into that.
Yeah.
Because opening credits for this, like Petra said, it's early 80s. It's basically, as far as I'm concerned, it's like the Goonies meets E.T. plus some sort of a horror thing.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. Goonies, E.T., and some sort of horror movie.
But, you know, with completely modern special effects.
Right.
Seamless modern special effects.
Right. So the Beautiful. Opening credits is this little synthesizer thing that is totally 80s yeah. synthesizer-ish. And, yeah, puts you right in the mood, right?
Yeah, it does. It's so believable and just totally...
It's a good little mystery.
I don't know.
Mystery.
It was fun. We really enjoyed this
one. The little
one.
Kid with no teeth. He's the star of that show.
He's so adorable.
Gosh, he was a good little actor.
Well, all the young actors in this, all of them were just stellar.
And you know what I like about the things they're doing on Netflix? And I won't say it's like the most controversial thing on earth, but at least it is something a little outside the norm lately. Like in this movie, like in this, we'll call it a miniseries. What,
yeah,
8 or 9?
It's a miniseries, 13, I think.
Yeah. That kid I'm talking about, these kids are like 8 or 9 years old. The kid with no teeth, he cusses a lot. He
yeah.
says shit, damn.
Oh, the teenage sister has sex. There's all kinds of things
yeah.
in this that, like, you do not get on network television.
But you would have gotten, that's the thing I like about it, you would have gotten that in an 80s movie back
yeah.
then. So it gives you the 80s feel that way, too.
Yeah, because they won't even put that in PG-13 movies anymore. So.
No, this you're right. This high school girl is sneaking out having sex. Things like that.
Yeah, it's
which
not.
Is, which I'm not saying you condone that, but hell, it happens. And it's nice to put it in a movie once in a while as part of the plot.
Yeah, it's something realistic.
Yeah, so yeah, I would highly recommend. I think people that like our show would probably be all
oh,
about
yeah.
that.
Oh, yeah. It's weird. It is way weird.
Yeah.
And in a good way, weird.
Yeah, it really is. That was a really good one. And, all right, I have my Hank's ponderings.
All right, what have you pondered this
week? I think we skipped
week?
It last time, but I have it this one.
You have time, so go for it, baby.
All right, here's what I'm thinking about. Why do you think there's no bands that I know of? Now, there may be something I'm totally leaving out. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't listen to music. I try to listen to a lot of music lately, but you know how it goes.
Yeah.
But, you know, it seems like on classic rock, there was a lot of bands in the 70s, maybe 60s, 70s, it seemed to have stopped in the 80s, where multiple lead singers within the same band, like some songs one guy would sing and another song somebody else would sing. Can you think of any band, particularly rock band or hell, any band, where there's more than one lead singer in the band? Let me give you
not
some examples
really.
From the 70s. Like,
yeah.
I like the Doobie Brothers.
Yeah.
They had multiple singers.
Fleetwood Mac, for sure.
Fleetwood Mac, the Eagles, the Beatles,
yeah.
Pink Floyd. I mean, all these people, about half of their songs were by one singer and the other half by another singer.
I don't know what happened there.
Hell, the Eagles had 3. Fleetwood Mac had 3.
I don't know what happened there. Maybe, I mean, we have the boy band, girl band phenomenon where we have multiple singers, but none of them play instruments. It's just that weird boy band, girl band thing.
And you know who could have maybe have done this had it played itself out? Maybe Nirvana would have done this.
Yeah.
Because, you know, this Dave Grohl from
yeah.
Foo Fighters. I mean, that's just all that is Nirvana without
Kurt Cobain. Yeah.
And now he's the lead singer. So maybe that would have happened, or maybe that wouldn't have. Maybe it was like, well, we're good enough. We got We got Kurt Cobain, so
such a huge following. He had a following. It wasn't just fans. It was a following. They couldn't put another singer up there. Like, I'm sure that there were people advising, you know, yeah, we know this guy sings great, but no, they're here to see him sing. Put him up front.
I don't know.
Maybe that is.
I'm just saying.
I'm guessing that at a certain point, managers became more important in music than musicians.
Or do you think it's somehow just, I don't know what it is. Like I said, all these things, all these ones I named are basically late 70s.
Yeah.
Bands, and there's probably more I'm obviously leaving out, but
oh yeah.
But and I know these are monster once in a lifetime bands, but I've named four or five of them just off the cuff. I can't believe in the last 20, 30 years there hasn't been some rock band
that had multiple lead singers.
Right.
I don't know. I can't think of any.
And these
if
are monsters.
If anybody does think of some, please let us know.
And these are monster bands. I mean, you're talking Glenn Frey and well, I can't name them all, but, you know,
yeah.
Glenn Frey, who's the other guy from the Eagles?
Oh, geez, shit. Don't ask me.
Don Henley. and hell, even, what's his name, Joe Walsh I've been listening to lately. Like, yeah. Those are three monster people in the same band. Oh, well, I just don't see it anymore. So there you go. There's my pondering.
Well pondered, Hank.
Maybe it's because the drugs back then were more pot and psychedelics, like, you know, let's all get along and sing some music. And now it's more like, grr, leave me alone. I'm going to be by myself. Fuck all you.
I don't know. I wasn't doing drugs back then or now. So
I don't either. Maybe it's just a cultural vibe.
I don't know. It seems to be, though, that it's very personality driven in music right now. I can't name a lot of modern bands. Maybe
I finally found a station. It's called Alternatives. It just says alternative music. It's on Slacker, and they actually played some music today while I was riding my bike. That was something I think we would halfway like and
listen to,
and sort of modern. Yeah, like cool. newer music, and I think we would listen to it.
Cool, because some of it gets on my nerves right now. I can't handle the radio.
Oh, well, we try.
Yeah.
And I want to ask you one last thing, and then we're going to get off here.
All right.
All right. Why do people, is it just because it's so different that people just can't wrap their head around it? But people cannot understand that I have a hobby, and that hobby makes a lot of money. And at some point, is it even possible? I mean, does a hobby and a career, I mean, does a hobby just become a career you really like? Or at what point separates a hobby from a career or a job or whatever you want to call it? Or
I don't
a business?
Know. I don't know. I think the definition maybe doesn't make money or not. But.
All right. Well, along that lines, maybe it's the amount of money.
Yeah.
Because I know a lot of people have a hobby of collecting baseball cards. And they go to these baseball card shows and trade and sell mm-hmm. baseball cards.
But are they paying taxes at the end of the year on what they made on those baseball cards, or did they lose money?
I don't know. Does that legitimize it?
I don't know.
Well, we have tons of friends around here that collect guns, basically.
Yeah.
And they're not making any money off of them, but. Well, they did, but then they trade them.
They trade them and try to
make money if they can.
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
Oh, I don't know. Well, we have two careers. I have a main career that makes most of our money.
Yes.
And then we have another. I keep calling it a hobby because it's something I do on my spare time. It doesn't take a lot of time, but it makes a lot of money too. So people think that. Like, they can't comprehend that's not taken away from my other job.
Well, as long as you're not, I don't know. I really don't know. But I get it, and I see your frustration with it. And I don't. Maybe the amount of time per week that it takes up might be
some factor
in it.
Well, maybe.
You know, I'm sure people could probably get obsessive about their hobbies and
right. And the second one I'm talking about is speculative real estate. My first occupation is just, it's a medical job. You know, I've been careful not to say exactly what it is, but basically it's in a medical field.
Yes.
And I own a medical type practice of some sort. You know?
That's vague.
Yeah, it's vague enough, but it's enough. I mean, yeah. You know, it's a business with multiple locations, and, you know, we bill insurance, and we're in the medical business. All right, so that's my main career.
Yes.
Then on the side, when I get home or on the weekends or whatever, some speculative real estate.
Yes.
Where, you know, we buy some property, we fix it up, we rent it, we have some commercial property. And I've slowly just built that. It doesn't take much time, and I really enjoy the finished products of renovating apartments and interacting with people I would never meet in a million years if we didn't have a for lease sign in some of these buildings.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So, and it doesn't take 20 hours a week. We know that. It doesn't take a fraction of that.
No.
But you've had people kind of give you grief about it for having two careers.
Right.
So
because my first career in the medical business, I have a business partner.
Yeah.
And, you know, it starts to get a little wonky. I mean, this person's thinking that he's starting to worry that that one career is going to take over the other, or it's not really a hobby. It takes, you know, in his words, mental energy away from one.
Yeah, but he's running around all the time with his kid that he's completely obsessed with, so.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. Like, if I had a kid, then maybe there wouldn't be an argument. Maybe you're splitting your stuff three ways.
Mm-hmm.
But the way our situation is, where we don't have kids, and I don't have a kid, I see no difference in, like, me having a business partner, and when he's not working, he has a kid that he's going to, you know, practice, and he's putting mental energy into raising his kid. That's fantastic, and he should do that.
He should. Yeah, he's a great parent.
Well, I don't have a kid. So when I get off work, instead of putting mental energy towards a kid, I'm putting mental energy towards my hobby, which is land and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I see no difference in that.
I don't either.
And I'm going to start, and I've thought it through enough to be confident about it. Because before I've always been, well, maybe it does take away. But I'm not, no. I'm going to be confident about this.
This is, all right. I think maybe here's the difference. I think it's more like introvert, extrovert. Like, I'm an introvert. I get energy when I'm by myself, you know, doing something like calm, reading, something like that. That's how I recharge my batteries.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're an extrovert. You get energy from socializing, things like that. We respect that about each other and give each other some leeway. I spend some time socializing with you. You give me some alone time. We're great with that. Okay. Your hobby is where you get creative ideas. You get a spark of inspiration that you can bring to your job. Just like he's, you know, recharging his batteries and getting that spark
from
his kid. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it is.
That's how I think of it too. Well, I think it is, and I've thought it through enough to be confident about it now.
Good,
because sometimes you know when he or somebody brings it up, it is hard for me to articulate
and defend.
It's
a defense. It has to be.
But for sure, the fact that I don't have kids, I've stumbled upon that as a big factor.
Yeah,
and that is huge.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, we wouldn't have time to do this stuff if we had kids.
No. And I can see it then. And, you know, and kids are fantastic. We talked about it earlier in the show, but they take a shit ton of your energy and time.
Yeah, they do.
And you can't tell me if you have a kid that doesn't take a lot of your energy and time.
It does. It certainly does.
So for somebody with a kid to accuse somebody else who doesn't have a kid of you're taking too much energy and time away from a business, well, that's kind of bullshit.
It is. And
I'm just going to say it. That's how I'm looking at it.
As an employee for years who didn't have a kid, you know, I was always the one that had to work late. I was always the one that had to work on a weekend or, you know, come in early or whatever, or cover for people who were out with sick kids or had, you know, something, PTA meetings, or there's always something. There's always ball games and practices and things like that that parents have to do that, let's face it, the employees without the kids, end up covering for over and over and over again. So if we've got a hobby that's making some money, it's about time.
That's right. Leave us alone, damn it.
Yeah.
No, you're right. And I'm totally okay with that. You know, we always take our vacation a different time. Everybody in my company
takes a week off in the summertime.
They all take,
they've got kids.
Right. They all take their summer vacation with their kids. We purposely wait till the fall or some other time to take vacation.
Yeah.
Which is fine. It's just one of those things. But yeah, I mean, you people who have kids
are invading our lives. No, I'm kidding.
You're ruining our lives. No,
thank you for having the kids, and please be great parents.
Right, and we want you to be great parents, but just get off our damn backs.
Yeah.
Don't give me this holier than thou shit because you produced an offspring. It doesn't mean a goddamn thing to me. All right? So you've got a fertile egg and you know how to have sex. All right? Great. Good for you.
Pretty much anybody can do that.
Yeah. So
now prove that you're a good parent and take care of them and raise a better generation.
Quit ruining our lives.
All right. You sounded old and crotchety there.
Love it. Everybody that's out here listening, we would appreciate it if you would share this with a friend. Email
and give us a great review on iTunes.
Yes.
Please.
A 5-star review on iTunes. Share the show. That doesn't cost you anything.
If, yep.
if you're afraid to order your shit off Amazon through us, all right. So be it. But this
we can't tell what you ordered anyhow.
We don't care. We could care less, even if we could find out.
I have a funny story about that.
But you can share it. You can share our show by Facebook,
yes.
Twitter. I don't care what. There's all kinds of buttons, and I'm out there on Twitter. You're out there on Pinterest.
Yes.
It'll be fun.
All right, everybody. Have a fantastic week, and we'll talk to you next weekend.